So once again, a very big welcome to everyone who's joining us physically and online. And it's always great to see the people of God gather together to praise Him and to hear His word. Today, we are going to continue the topic on the journey of faith with the story of Jacob. And one thing for certain is that in Jacob's journey of faith, God was always with him. Jacob was on the run from Esau after he cheated him, and Esau wanted to murder him. He arrived at Bethel during his run, and there he had his first encounter with God. And God made a powerful promise to Jacob. He says in Genesis 28:15, can we have the verse flash? Genesis 28:15, that I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. When the verse is up, just leave it up there. This encounter changed Jacob's life as he immediately recognized the value of this promise, embraced this promise, and made a covenant with God immediately. And that was when his journey of faith started. I too had an encounter that changed a perception of mine. About 3.5 years ago, I was faced with a struggle between whether to accept a job offer or not. It was a good offer, but there was this hesitation because I was not sure if it was the right time to make the switch. And the offer came because I was contacted by a recruiter who asked if I was interested. Then I went for the interview and I got it. But now, I got myself in a dilemma. And career choices are one of those things that can make you lose sleep. So after giving it some thought, I think it was because of the fear of missing out, I told the company that I was going to join them because it was a good deal. But on the eve of the day of contract signing, the hesitation remained and I started to wonder if I had really made the right choice. I've been praying for directions in the lead-up, but I did not hear anything. So for the last time, before I went to bed on the eve of the contract signing, I prayed and gave God one last chance to give me some directions. That night, I had a dream, and even till now, I can still vividly remember the dream. It was the kind of dream that I've never had before, and I was not someone who dreams often, so it definitely felt divine. And especially since I prayed for it before going to bed, the message and feeling that I got from the dream was clear and unsettling to me. And the next morning, I called Jeff for some godly advice on what the dream meant. And I remember the first sentence that he told me is, I'm not Joseph. I cannot interpret the dream. But overall, after hearing the story, he says that the message was clear, that there's some unsettling feeling. So in the end, I politely told the offering company that I would not be taking up the offer. And of course, I did not tell them about the dream. They told me to take some days to think about it, but I affirmed the decision the next day. The thing is, I would never know what would result from that decision at that point of time. And the future was still unknown to me, just as Jacob did not know what Esau would do to him. Remember, he was on the run, being pursued, trying to be murdered. Even after Jacob had his first encounter, and then the wrestling encounter with God. But all I knew was that I had to trust God's direction and journey on, since the message was clear. What I can say is that my wife found out that she was pregnant with our second child on the day that I declined the offer, and then 6 months later, after the decision, the first case of COVID got reported, and then the industry was badly hurt. So thinking back, I'm thankful that God had clearly shown that He has got me and my family's back when it comes to important decisions like career choices. And that is a whole load of peace that I think anyone can ask for. I was an 8-year-old Christian then, and I can say that that was the first time that I felt God's direction so clearly. So it's like that. We may not get spectacular dreams all the time, but as God has promised in the verse, I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land, and I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. There will be gap years where you feel like God is not speaking to you, but know that you're well within God's plan and guidance, and He's molding you in the process. So I pray that everyone here will persevere in your journey of faith like Jacob and experience the peace and comfort knowing that in your walk, God is in a partnership with you, watching over you as well. So with that, I'll pass the time over to Pastor.
It's not so good. Philosophers tell us that we should pursue our dreams. There's even a motor car entitled BYD, Build Your Dreams. But it doesn't tell us how to build. If you buy their car, you build their dream. How about you? How about your dream? And we have heard that one of the things, one of the ways God leads us is through dreams. The Bible says when we walk with God, you delight yourself in God. God puts his dreams into your heart. Say again. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he puts his dream and his desires into your heart. And the dreams are always to make you a champion. I call him a secret, a hidden champion. We all are created to be hidden champions. That should be the dream. And you have got here guidance. Sometimes you're not very sure. So the scripture for today says, the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. I did not experience it. I did not experience it. And I'd like to give you my keyword today. Just as brothers experience God's guidance, my keyword for you today is experience. Experience God's guidance. So you need to remember one word, experience. Now, God has many promises. The question is whether you experience it. And how do we go about it so that we'll experience it? He said, God was here, but I didn't experience it. I didn't know it. I didn't experience it. And one of the benefits that you need to accrue in your Christian walk with God is that you will experience God. Experience God's guidance. Experience God's power. Experience God's blessings. So how do you experience this? And even before I share, I believe most of you have read this passage from chapter 28 to chapter 32 about the life of Jacob. This name is so famous. Somebody who manufactured biscuits took this name. They call it Jacob's Biscuit. All right, but what's Jacob's faith we are going to talk about? So I just want to do a quick survey here. How many of you have learned at least 10 things about the faith of Jacob? May I see your hand? You counted 10 things about his faith that you feel I can emulate, I can identify. 10 things. Anyone? Don't have. Okay. How about 7 things? No 7 things. How about 5? You got 5 things. Okay. Very good. And how about 4 things you learned about Abraham's faith? Abraham have a lot of stories, you know, how he found this girlfriend, you know, how God blessed him and so on. But we are talking about his faith, not about God's blessing. How about 3, at least 3? You straight away, I say, what do you know about the faith of Abraham? You say, oh, I know 3 things. Number 1 is this, number 2, number 3. 3 things. Oh. How about 2 things about Abraham that you learned? Okay, at least I got 4, 5, 6. Great. How about 1 thing you learned about Abraham? Jacob. 1. Okay, I saw her, man. How about, let's be honest here. How many of you got up to this point this morning as I ask you this question? You say, I'll be honest with God. I've learned 0 things Of course, nobody wants to put out his hand. All right, before I started this, I learned zero things about Jacob. Because there are so many interesting stories about Jacob. You know, I asked one group, he said, what do you learn about Jacob's faith? He said, he was a trickster. He was a pretty good scammer. He scammed the brother's birthright. He scammed the brother's blessing. And then he ran away. I said, brother, that's a very interesting story, but that's not about faith. Then he said, he married the most beautiful girl in this family named Rachel. I said, that's wonderful, but that's still not about faith. And then how he worked under this man called Laban, his uncle, you know, he became so prosperous. Yeah, but brother, that's still not about faith. Even there are a lot of stories about Jacob, but that's not about faith. So, the first thing I want you to learn about is how different he is from his predecessor, who? Abraham, Isaac. And the highlight is he experienced God's guidance and he experienced the fruit of faith. When you exercise faith, one of the things I want to you need to get into is to be able to experience the benefits of faith. So I want to bring this up, the faith and how it benefits. So I'm going to introduce you to nine aspects of his faith. But of course, you can't remember nine things, right? So I've come up with some acronyms. I've given you your notes. So you are going to start with the notes. I'm going to follow most of the notes, but I will maybe summarize with some acronyms to help you. Because what you cannot remember is not much use. So one thing we can ask this morning for the Holy Spirit to help you. Well, what do you want the Holy Spirit to help you? Well, one thing is to be able to learn what is faith. Number two, to remember what is faith, so that the coming week you not only experience faith, not only practice faith, but experience the benefits of faith. By the way, the worship is very important. When you talk about hallelujah, this is how you praise God, all right? Many of you put up your hands this morning. Because our leader commanded us. But next time maybe you put out your hand to the Lord. Worship, praise is this way. All right. And then you give your soul to the Lord. Soul is this way. You think at least two actions next round you'll be able to do it. Because when you begin to worship the Lord, you experience His presence. Today's verse says, that even as for Jacob, God was in that place, but he did not experience it. So for you to experience God, you need to cooperate. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we find some difficulty in our learning process. We have read Genesis, but most of us don't get very much about. We don't see wondrous things out of Jacob's faith. So I speak right now the impartation of the learning skill so that as listeners, we'll be able to pick up that nuggets of principles so that we can emulate the faith of Jacob and also to experience the blessings of that faith. And then, Lord, Spirit of God, I ask that you help us to be able to activate our remembering, our memory skills, so that we can remember the things that we're going to learn today about Jacob's faith, so that we also will be able to experience the blessings that comes with faith. In Jesus' name. The Word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That without faith, don't expect any good thing from God. Because that is the standard He has laid down. That's the condition. That if you will exercise faith, God will give you the experience of the blessings. So how do you get into faith? For some of you, you are like Jacob because you are third generation. Abraham was the pioneer. Isaac was the father who did impact Jacob's faith. But Jacob, remember the four questions you always ask before you start reading the Bible? When, where, and who, and so on. By this time, get to know a little bit. Jacob is like most of us. We grew up in a comfortable family, so he grew up in a quite comfortable household. But like some of you who grew up in Christian families, you maybe learn a few things from your father. So in this case, Jacob did observe that his father, Isaac, feared God. Isaac feared God. That's what he learned as he grew up. But he was living in a protective family. He enjoyed staying home. He's a homely guy. Very skillful in cooking. He cooked one dish in Hokkien we call O Tau Teng or Ang Tau Teng. No Hokkien here. All right. So porridge was his specialty. He knows all kinds of porridge. So he learns from his mother, of course. And he is a very homely person. Doesn't go out much. He's not so sporty like his brother. He's not a hunter. He's probably not very athletic. Came the day when he had to leave home. Can you see the problem he has? He has to leave home. When does this journey begin? So you got your notes. I also got my notes. There are a few things I'm going to highlight today. And that is, I'm going to summarize from your notes just three things from the first part of the journey. Okay. So I've given you some introduction. He had to... So the journey begins with, you know when, chapter... Now, today I'm going to do an exercise with you. So this exercise is got to do with observation. You know, some of you have read about Jacob's story. And all you remember was he's a scammer. Well, that's because of the lack of observation. So I'm going to do an exercise on observation. Just an observation skill so that later on when you read the Word of God, you will yourself benefit. So I'm going to use my new Bible because my other Bible has been used until all broken now. So I got a new one. And so there are a few things you need to learn about this habit. And that is, you try to get used to bringing your, let me see, try to get your paper Bible the next time you come. Okay, don't use digital when it comes here because I'm going to ask you to mark. His journey of faith begins in verse 10. And what does verse 10 say? Jacob left Beersheba. He set out. So this is the beginning of his journey. Many of us remember, oh, he was a scammer. Yeah, that's before he started his journey. Now, at this point, when he set out, that was the start of his faith journey. That means he now has to begin learning faith on his own, learning to experience faith on his own, not riding on his father's faith or his grandfather's faith. Now he set out. So what is the step one that needs to be done in order to begin your journey of faith? If you do not do this, you cannot start your journey of faith. That's why this day he starts his journey of faith. And where did he start from? Beersheba, his father's hometown. Start from the faith of his father. Then he reached a certain place. All right, I'd like you to take note. You notice I also mark my Bible. Try and mark your Bibles. First thing, he fell asleep, and the word was he had a dream. Now, this became Martin Luther King's opening speech. He also said, I have a dream. It's good to have a dream. And he saw in his dream a stairway that is erected on the earth, and the stairway reaches to the top. Where is the top? According to this verse, to the heavens. So from earth to heaven, there is a stairway. He saw in this dream. What is this stairway? All right, that's something that you will need to take note shortly. He saw angels going up and down. And then what did he see? The most important is verse 13. He saw in his dream that the Lord stood at the top. And the Lord said something in his dream. The Lord said what? I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. Now, that's the first step. We call this step one in your journey of faith. You need to encounter God. We call it what? I call it going out faith. All right, let me use. So my summary word, these are called faith words, all right? Faith words. So this is called his going out faith from Beersheba. He received God's word. That's the first thing he did. You need to receive God's word. You cannot start a journey without the gospel or hearing God's word. Somewhere you must read it or dream it, or somebody has to tell you God's word must come to you, because there is no journey of faith without God's word. And what's the first thing? He accepted lordship. That's why God said, I am the Lord. So what was his response in order to go into the faith journey? All right, now, you look at this. This was his response. The Lord will become my God. Can you see this word? The Lord will become my God. In other words, he accepted the lordship. When the Lord told him, I am the Lord, he accepted it. The Lord will be my God. So the step one in your journey of faith is an acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. Why do I use the word Jesus? Because the word gateway or the door to heaven is not a thing, but a person. When Jesus came to planet Earth, he said, remember Jacob's dream about that stairway up to heaven? I'm the stairway. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. No man comes to the Father except through me. Learning about the person, Jesus, becomes a gateway. But we receive Jesus not only as a gateway, but as Lord. Now, what are two key features about lordship? When you say Jesus is Lord, what do you mean? There are two conditions. If you don't meet this, Jesus is not Lord. First of all, there is an action that will have to follow. What is the action? Obedience. That means I'm committing myself to obey whatever Jesus says, whatever God says. That's good enough for me. I will act on it immediately. That is what you'll do if you are saying Jesus is Lord. Now, number two, what do you have to think? Your attitude has to change. What is the attitude? The attitude is that I will rank myself below God's authority. And whatever he says, I will accept it in my heart. It is not about action, it's about my attitude. I do not question God. Sometimes I understand what's happening, sometimes I don't. But I know He knows more than me. I don't have to question Him. Because if you are to answer my question today, I may not be able to accept it. Or I may not be able to understand it. So it does not matter whether He explained or not. He doesn't have to. That is an acceptance of authority. Okay? Can you remember these two conditions? Every time you say, Jesus, Lord, you are acknowledging, I will obey Him. Two, I will accept His, whatever His wisdom is. In fact, without the Word of God, you can never acquire the wisdom of God. So, that's what His Lordship. He accepted the Lordship of Jesus. And so, that is step one. When you come to an encounter, your first connection with God is acknowledging He is Lord. Second, that Jesus is the gateway to heaven. Because He's the only one who died for your sins. Number two, this is about receiving God's word, all right? So step one, accept. Now B, step two, your notes says, okay, in your notes we have the word to believe, all right? In the God encounter, you believe whatever He says. And she used the word Bethel. He came to this place. And he know, he called this place Bethel. You know this Hebrew word? Bethel means the house of God. And what did he say about the house of God? All right. This is what he says in the word here. In verse 16, we just talk about verse 16. The Lord is in this place, but I did not realize it or I didn't know it. But verse 17 says, he was afraid, meaning he was found it to be so awesome. He says, what an awesome place this is. By the way, the word awesome is only used in relation to God. Don't say, oh, this is an awesome curry puff. What's so awesome about the curry puff? You get one mouthful, finish it. Now, there's nothing awesome about curry puff. Awesome is something very sacred, something holy, something powerful, something that is above your authority. And he says here that not only is he, first thing he said, this is nothing else than the house of God. Nothing else. But the house of God. What is the house of God? A place of worship. When you come to this place, this is because a place of worship, this is called the house of God. So he believed and he belonged to the house of God. So you got your notes here. By the way, I always like to mark my notes. Firstly, he accepted God's lordship. And he believed that he belongs to the house of God. So he accepted the lordship. He decided he belonged to the house of God. So a person cannot say, I'm making my way to heaven. I want to encounter God or experience God. But I don't want to belong to the house of God. That's not possible. To belong to the house of God means you become a member of God's household, a member of God's family. And Jesus in the New Testament calls it the body of Christ. They are different names. So you need to decide, I will belong to the house of God. That is the going out faith, the starting faith that I will belong to the house of God. And I believe in the gateway that is Jesus. All right. Then the third thing you need to do in your going out faith is that there is a covenanted relationship He vowed. Okay, now, can you, by the way, keep your Bibles open and mark it. You see this word here? What did he do? Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow. Can you see the word? What is the vow? If God is with me, protect me on this journey, in this journey, in my journey of faith. If God will lead me in my journey of faith, I'm taking and give me my basic needs, food, clothing, and then I will do what? I will, then the Lord will be my God. So that's a vow. A vow is making a covenant. It's about covenant making. So in my notes I gave you, please go and mark it so that you can review it. He made a vow. That is a covenant, an act of making a covenant, entering into a covenant with God. So if you have accepted God's leadership, lordship, but you need to also make a vow. Okay, we just want to talk about acceptance, A. B, belonging to the family. So we say, why is this Bethel a family? Belong to a family? Belonging to a family is a sign. It's a sign. You know, we all come here every Sunday to worship the Lord together. Exodus 31:13 says, this is a sign between you and me that we have a covenant relationship. It's about relationship. The word Lord is about relationship. The covenant vow is about entering into a relationship. Just like a marriage vow. A marriage vow establishes a man and a woman to enter into a special relationship we call husband and wife. So there is the three things I put here. Acceptance of lordship. And he makes a vow to enter into covenant relationship with God. That is a requirement if you are starting out in your faith in Jesus. That's what Jacob did, and that's what you need to do if you say that you are starting your journey of faith. If you haven't done it, then you haven't fully begun. Then the word belong has to do with worship and then the covenant relationship. So ABC maybe would be a good way for you to remember for the going out faith. Okay? ABC. It's about receiving God's word. How? By acceptance of lordship. Can we say it together? How do we have going out faith? Number one, acceptance of lordship. B, long to. And three, covenant relationship through a vow. Okay. And so that's the three things that you need to establish when you are on going out faith. So if next week somebody asks you, what are the three conditions for going out faith? A, B, and C. A, acceptance of lordship. B, belonging to a household of faith. Three, covenant relationship by a vow. Okay, three simple things. All right. Please, next week if somebody asks you, what do you learn about Jacob's faith? Don't know what pastor is talking about. Lao kui ya, they say. All right, so remember three things about going out faith. You'll see the same feature in the life of Abraham, but now we are focusing on Jacob. Secondly, what would be the next step? We call it the going on faith. All right, now, in my notes, I give you about going on faith. Let me just simplify everything that I've given on going on faith by mentioning that he trusted God's keeping. That's the first thing. Trusting God's keeping. Why? Because in the starting out faith or going out faith, God made four major promises. That's chapter 28 we have just read. And you see, every time when you see the God say, I will, It's a very powerful word. When God says, I will do this for you, you can be rested that He will do for you. And there are four major I wills. Besides, I am. God says, I'm the Lord. Okay. Then He gives, I will. So your going on faith has to rely on these promises. And what are the promises here? God says, I will many times. Okay. We just go back to here in this passage. I'm using this particular media because I like you to do what we call observation. Can you observe this? God says, I will give you. Is that correct? I will. The four I wills. Every time you see I will, mark it, because God guarantees the following. First, I will give you what? You and your descendants, the ground, this land. This land is something I promised to your father, grandfather, Abraham. Now I'm promising to you, Jacob, I'll give you this land, the land of Israel. And today it still belongs to them. And then he says what? I will spread out, you will spread out to the four corners of the earth. And then the whole earth will receive blessings through you. And I will protect you. Can you note that? I will protect you. Okay, these are the I wills. Now, take note of this. What God will do what? Always go back to what God has promised. Whenever you go, I will bring you back. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. So this word is promise. Underline the word promise. So the going on faith is hinged on God's promises. God said, I will do this. I'll protect you. I'll lead you. I'll bring you. I'll give you. Hey, these are very powerful words. When God says, I will, He will. He always does so because He's able. Remember the four I wills, at least out of these six. Four I wills. And it's based on this that He moves on to going on faith. You cannot go on in your faith without knowing what God says He has promised to do for you. And God has promised plenty. The problem is because we don't read His word, we forgot or we didn't even recognize that this promise is not only for Jacob, but much of this is for us. Even the promise of the ground is talking about the promised land. For us, the ground that is promised is heaven. All right. So, in your going out faith, the key word I want you to underline in your notes is this word in your second paragraph or third paragraph. All right. He came with little, but left with plenty. Now, I would summarize the para 2 more easily by using three words here. Maybe this would be easier for you to remember. Firstly, he trusted God's keeping. And then he experienced the blessings. Where are the blessings? Look at chapter 30, verse 27. All right. 30, verse 27, he says, Laban, let me just read to you. The Lord has blessed me, Laban, his uncle said, because on account of you. But going back to chapter 29, in what way did Jacob experience God's blessings because he trusted God's promises? In what way did he experience it? Now, come with me to chapter 29. I just want to read one verse to you and verse 9. In verse 9, it says, while he was still speaking. Can you see? Well, firstly, in the going on faith, he arrived at the place that he's supposed to do. Okay, it begins with, Jacob moved on and came to the land of the eastern people. Eastern people are the people east of the river Euphrates. East of the Euphrates. They call it the eastern people because they all actually, everything that is east of Jerusalem is called eastern. Everything west of Jerusalem is called western. So you have got this map here. Now, I always refer to a map because I'm teaching an exercise today. Here is the Mediterranean. Here is the Persian Gulf. All of you are familiar with it. All of you are familiar with the Israel is here. The Suez Canal is here. So he's now traveling all the way up. First night, he stopped halfway here. He traveled 80 kilometers. And subsequently, he arrived at this called Padan Aram. Aram is a people group. And he came to this place called Haran. All right. So this is the river Euphrates. West, east of the Euphrates are called the eastern people. So I've come a long way, 800 kilometers. And so as you arrive, trusting God's promises, God begin to help him to experience, key word today, experience the blessings of faith. How? Look at verse 7. Now, in verse 7, this is what it says. Verse 9. Let's go straight to verse 9. You mark this verse in your Bible. Chapter 29, verse 9. While he was still speaking to some strangers, he was talking to some strangers because in those days, they don't have an address to look for. House number, don't have. Street number, don't have. Don't have lamppost number. So he could only go around asking, do you know this person called Mr. Laban of the household of Bethuel, this famous family? And then these strangers say, yeah, yeah, we know him. And while he was still talking to these strangers, he was still speaking, Rachel arrived. Now, Rachel was the one God had appointed to be his wife. Because Father Isaac said, don't you ever marry any of these women of the Canaanites. Because they worship false gods. They are idol worshippers. Go and look for a wife among my family people. And so, Rachel was the one. Well, the Bible says she was very shapely, very beautiful. The three patriarchs, I envy them. They all three of them had, the Bible says, very beautiful woman. Well, but can you see the word? While he was speaking to some strangers, that means God has been already orchestrated this. This is often the case. You need to experience God's blessings when you walk in faith. In your going on faith, you'll see things begin to converge. That you are at the right place, at the right time. And therefore, he met this woman who was going to be the love of his life, Rachel. So, one of the things we do when we trust God's keeping is that we will experience the blessing. So, this is what we call experiencing blessing because he trusted what God has spoken. How long did he remember these first words that he received on going out faith. You found that 20 years later, Jacob still said, Lord, you said this and this and this. He did not forget. So we know that this was a man who had God's promises in his heart as he journeyed through life. For the next 20 years, he's going to experience God's blessings as he went on. He's going on faith. Now, we are talking about what aspect of his faith can we observe? Well, besides experiencing God's blessings, he demonstrated faithfulness. Now, to summarize three chapters that follows, he worked for his uncle Laban. But the uncle Laban is a tricky fellow. The Bible says he's an Aramaic. And if you are in the KJV, you see the word, he was a Syrian. Syrian is a political name of the area. But Aramaic or Aram are just the people group name. Actually, Abraham himself was an Aramaic. He's from Aram. Okay, so his uncle was more tricky than him. How? Well, to sum up, the uncle changed his wages 10 times. That means every 2 years, the wages keep changing downwards, not upwards. All right. Two, Laban tricked him. Suppose he said, you know, this guy, Jacob was in love with Rachel. And he really loved her so much that he worked 7 years for her. The Bible says it felt like nothing. I think there are many wives here who wish their husbands are like that. Am I correct or not? That your husband will work 7 years just for you and get nothing. Wow, that's really wonderful. I've worked 55 years for one woman. So I beat him hollow. All right, now, the point is this. On the night of the wedding, the uncle put the elder sister in front, in the bedroom. So Brother Jacob must have taken a few extra drinks, and he didn't even know that this woman on the bed was not Rachel. So the uncle scammed him. But God always turns things, bad things into good. Because out of this Leah, the sister, the Leah produced 6 of his sons. Out of the 12, 6 came from her. She was what we call in modern language, what? Very productive. So later on, even Jacob summarized after 20 years. He said to Laban, his uncle, if God was not with me, especially the God of Isaac who feared you, if God was not with me, you, Uncle Laban, would have sent me off empty-handed. But because God helped me and gave me wisdom so that by the 14th year, I had an idea. I would say to you, remove all the speckled animals, sheep, cattle, whatever, as long as they've got a speck on it, they are not pure white, pass them to me. All those that are pure white, because the wool is very valuable and so on, it belongs to you. If happen to have one animal that is spotted or speckled or got some pattern on it, please, I will take it as my wages. Laban is so happy because most sheep are all white. So speckled be few, right? But because God gave Jacob some idea how to do the husbandry, at the end of 6 years, God blessed the livestock belonging to Jacob. You see, in the experiencing God's blessings through faith, you may start small, but God is the one who blesses. So he specifically explained to his uncle Laban at the end of 20 years that you changed my wages 10 times. I was getting lesser and lesser. It was God who protected me by giving me ideas about how to reproduce the animals that you didn't want, the speckled ones and so on, which is just a few. But after 6 years, I've got a big amount of livestock. So at the end of it, he said this: when I took care of your sheep for these 20 years, 14 years for my two wives, plus the 6 years that I still work as your manager and I took care of your animals, you're so strict with me. If a sheep got eaten up by a fox or a wolf, I have to pay for it. I have to wake up at night in the cold of the night and watch because there are predators going after the sheep. I work day and night. Daytime, sometimes it's so hot, I sweat under the sun. I have paid a high price. For 20 years, I've been faithful to you. So the word is this: how did Jacob demonstrate his faith? He was faithful to his employer. He did not cheat. Previously, he was an expert cheater. He was a scammer. But when he worked for the 20 years, he had changed. He had changed. He never cheated anything from his uncle. He was faithful. You got it? He was faithful. Now, faithfulness is a word which in the Greek is the same as the word faith. If you are men of faith, you will be faithful. Can you get it? In other words, if you are not a man of faith in God, you will not be faithful. There's no reason to be faithful. Because he said, because I feared God, just like my father. He feared God. He honored God. And so he demonstrated faithfulness. 20 years, he was faithful to his wife. He was faithful to his uncle. And God prospered him. So faithfulness is one of the signs of faith. And then, the Bible says, what is the outcome? Let me just show you this, chapter 30. Chapter 30, here it says that, verse 43, in this way, Jacob became what? Became what? The screen. Oh, technical fault. Never mind. The Holy Spirit has got no technical fault. So please listen. It says in verse 43 of chapter 30, can you write down in your notes? Because on the notes, you have got this going on faith. Just put down in your para 2, below para 2. Can you just fill up here under, below this second point? Okay? What do you need to fill up? Below this second point, this is what I'd like you to write down. What you need to write down is simply this. These words. He separate. Well, firstly, this verse says, 43 says, he became extremely prosperous. He owned large flocks, male and female servants. So he had a big group of servants. So he must have at least, what, 100, 200 workers under him. He's a major employer. He had camels, he had donkeys. All right, the donkeys for carrying the goods. So he was very wealthy. He said, extremely prosperous. Underline that word. Extremely prosperous. because of his faithfulness. Then in his going on faith, he did one thing, which go back to chapter 31. And that says that he separate from non-travelers. You know, some point of time, you and I will have to separate from non-travelers. It's not good to stick around with people who are not fellow travelers. Value them. Value fellow travelers. Move away from non-travelers. He has been with Laban for 20 years, and at Mitzpah, he did something that is very important. You need to be very clear who are your fellow travelers. If you are going on faith, you need to separate from sin, from sinful people. So, what happened here? He had a... Can you see the word Mitzpah in this passage? Let me see. Chapter 31, verse 49. Let me try and get for you. You see that... all right. Can you turn to your Bibles, please? Yeah. Look at chapter 31. Today is a marking exercise, an observation exercise. So you look at verse 49 of chapter 31. For me, I mark my Bible very clearly. It says what? All right. I'd like all of you to read together with me. Verse 49. Okay. You found it already? Got your Bibles? All right. Can you read it now? One, two, go. I think we start all over again a bit louder. The reason I got a new Bible is called the Net Bible. Net. So a bit slightly different from yours. So those who have NKJV, please you help me by reading once we count it together a bit loud. Especially I want to hear the men. Hey, guys, can you give the umph? All right, one, two, three. Okay, stop. So, this place, Mitzpah, is a place of separation. Beersheba is a place of going out faith. And then, we have got Haran is a place where he had to go through going on faith. And here is a point, it comes to Mitzpah. Is a place of separation. So, at this point, the uncle separates from him and he goes on separate ways. That's the last day he saw Laban. And from that day onwards, these two families never saw each other again. That was a final separation. You have to separate from people who are not fellow travelers. People who may call themselves Christians, but they are not interested in going on with God because you become a burden. So, separation from sin, separation from bad habits, whether it be smoking or whether it be drinking. By the way, drinking water is fine. I'm talking about drinking liquor. Or whether it be gambling, separate from them. All right? Because you need to go on. Then, thirdly, in your notes, you've got para 3 now. Okay, let me go into para 3. In your notes, the second line, the para 3, there's a word called experienced God at Peniel. Okay, you got, can you underline the word experienced God? All right? Now, so, this is called going in faith. Now, I'm going to move a bit faster here. And if I were to summarize these 3 points I've got here, 5 points. Now, I'm going to First of all, work on I would call it overcoming setbacks. Setbacks are found in the first or the third point in your notes, or fourth point. Face safety issues. Fear of revenge by Esau. Fear of revenge by Hamor, the Hivite. Okay, you got that one in your notes? All right, just underline that. I call this overcome setbacks. And how did he overcome these setbacks? Okay, so I'm going to give you some practical handles on this. He overcome these setbacks, first of all, by prayer. When he prayed, he goes back to God's promises. There's a mysterious passage here that many people find a bit hard to understand, and that is found in chapter 32, all right? Now, can you mark verse 24? Something happened. He was facing a very distressful situation. He was full of fear. So, open up. Ah, thanks. Yeah, okay. Good, thanks. Yeah, okay. So, verse 24? Right. So Jacob was left alone. Can you take note of this? Jacob was left alone. Verse 24. You open your Bibles, you should see this. Jacob was left alone. Then a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Who is this man? When the man saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he struck the socket of his hip, so the socket of Jacob's hip was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." "I will not let you go," Jacob replied, "unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What's your name?" He answered, "Jacob, trickster." "No longer will the name be Jacob," the man said, "but Israel, because you have fought with God and men and have prevailed." Okay, so this idea of who is this man, it's a bit mysterious, but this was a very important part of his faith journey. He wrestled with God. He was alone. He was in solitude. All the family members have crossed the river Jabbok. All right, Jabbok River is roughly 50 kilometers north of the Dead Sea. If you don't know where's the Dead Sea, well, maybe another time you have to look at the map. So he was alone for that night, seeking God. You see, one of the things that you need to do if you are in a journey of faith is to seek God's face, just like our brother just mentioned just now. Just see God's face. And who is this man who appeared? Well, it was the Lord Jesus himself in human form. What is this wrestling exercise about? Because he says he prayed. It was a wrestling of prayer. So he wrestled with God and he prayed all night long. So one of the things that helps us in our journey of faith is to be in prayer, taking hold of God's promises. And then he prayed all night because he was afraid. His servants have told him that Esau has come with 400 men. Wow, that's a lot of men. Why is he coming with 400 men to meet me? So he was in panic. And you know, when you are in a journey of faith, you face situations where we have panic situations. So what do? Pray. Spend time with God and say, "Lord, what is it you want to do? I want to do your will. God, will you help me to overcome this. So he had to deal with his fear, his anxiety, his problems, which he cannot see any way out. He was in a jam. And then what did he pray? Later on he said, Lord, you said you would bring me back. Remember the promises. You said, I will give you this land. I will protect you. I will bring you back. I will fulfill everything I promise you. Lord, you said so. I take you at your word. That is faith. Faith in action. That you are willing to pray all night long because you have no solution. And you begin to see God's solution. That is the first thing that you can do in the learning of the journey of faith, in going on faith, overcome setbacks. Then he rejected foreign gods. Foreign gods. Okay, I wrote it out. Foreign gods, he rejected them. In chapter 35, verse 4. Now, do a bit of turning the next page, chapter 35 and verse 4. All right. What does it say here? Chapter 35, verse 4. This is my Bible. So they gave the family member, all the servants, everyone among all the workers, hundreds of them, they gave Jacob all the foreign gods, the idols that were in their possession, and the rings in their ears, because some of the idols were many idols hanging around the ears. Jacob buried them under that oak near Shechem, and they started on their journey. Their surrounding cities were afraid of God. Okay, the important thing is this. He had going in faith. He's now moved into the land that God has promised to bring him back to, the land of Canaan. So, one of the most important things, not only to separate from sin, but you have to reject foreign gods, because this carry a curse. A simple illustration is like this. When they left the land of Haran, Jacob was in a hurry. In fact, overnight he packed up everything and settled his children, 11 of them, and they moved on immediately, because the Lord told him, get back to the land of Canaan immediately. He did that. But there's one thing that his wife foolishly did. Rachel stole Laban, her father's idols. Now, this is a practice in that land. So she brought it with her. Laban was so upset, they searched every tent of Jacob's people and couldn't find his idols because Rachel was sitting on it. All right. So, in his anger, when Jacob talked to Laban, he said, have you found anything that I've stolen? You haven't found anything, right? Oh, Jacob was livid. He was angry, scolded his uncle. And he said one foolish sentence. He said, whoever stole your idol should not live. Now, be very careful. Be careful what you say. Whoever stole the idol should not live. What is that called? A curse. And that curse worked within a short time of months. So that when his family moved to the south, he was going to see his father Isaac. When he was traveling and they were coming to Bethlehem, outside Bethlehem, the baby arrived and she delivered the baby Benjamin. And she died in childbirth. If you go outside the city of Bethlehem, you see this big tomb, Rachel's tomb. She died. So there's a power of blessing, and there is also a power of curse. So this is one of the things that as you are walking with God, remember, there is a lot of authority that we, as we go, have going in faith, be careful because you'll have authority that God will support because you have become a covenant partner. Be careful what you say. That's why what you say, you have to learn from the Word of God. You must study the book of Proverbs. Memorize Proverbs. Memorize the Word of God, because only this book gives you wisdom as to what to say. And then, so there was a negative part one have to learn. And lastly, in the going in faith, he built an altar of worship. He worshiped God. He went back to Bethel. Okay, always remember Bethel is a place of worship. Now, as we close, journey of faith obviously need wisdom. Can the worship team come? You need wisdom in this journey. And Jacob started with zero, but he did end up as hero, because he started as a scammer, but he never carried on being that. He had a change of name from Jacob to Israel, and today the nation of Israel is named Israel because of this man. All right, now, so you have got there's a tremendous future. The entire nation of Israel came about because of this journey of faith. And God has got plans to make you not just prosperous, but that you will have an impact in the nations. People will be blessed through you as it did in the days of Jacob. But will you continue this journey? I'll give you 9 key words for the journey of faith. Going out faith. A for accepting lordship. B for belonging to the house of God. C for covenanted relationship. I've talked about going on faith. Faithfulness is one of the important things. And remembering God's commandments and God's promises is the second thing. Separation from sinful habits, sinful ways has to be dealt with. And then going in faith, you need to overcome setbacks with prayer. And then you reject other gods and loyal only to the Lord God. Then you have a life of worship. That is how. 9 key words for the faith of Jacob. I'd like you to just pause for a while before we sing this closing song. In your journey of faith, is this what you want to do? For those of you who are going out of faith, can you remember, can you make Jesus Lord in your life? Today, if you're going to prosper as God prospered Jacob, will you do so by inviting the Lord Jesus, not only to be your Savior, but to be the Lord in your life? That you belong to his household, the family of God, that you be you establish by a vow today to have a covenant with God. If that's what you are doing, just tell God that before we have this closing prayer. Just tell God one thing about this journey of faith.
Oh Lord, change this heart inside of me. Change this heart inside of me. Change this heart inside of me.
Father, as we declare, this is a change in our hearts that we need, so that we'll embark on the journey of faith just like your servant Jacob. Lord, I pray that each one of us will see, will have our dreams. We'll dream to be a hidden champion of faith for Jesus. That among the people that we live, whether it be among our family members, they will see faith in action. Lord, whether it be among our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, they will see that we are men of faith. And because of this, Lord, will you enable each of us to experience the blessings of faith, so that even others will be blessed because of our presence. And Lord, I just speak right now that ability to crown Jesus as Lord, the ability to sense a sense of belonging to the house of God, the ability to keep the covenant we have made with you. Lord, make our journey to be like Jacob, Lord, from zero to hero, because you always keep your word. Lord, I pray you'll put in each one of us in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Change to our hearts, Lord. Sometimes we give excuses. We are distracted. We don't read your word. We don't even remember what you have promised. You have said so many I wills, but we can't remember. And Lord, even from this morning's observation exercise, let your word become so precious in each of our hearts. Lord, put your dream and your desires in each of us. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You need prayer, please come. The rest of you go to your small groups.